You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy New Year, guys. It is The Startup with Monique Leray, our first show of 2026. I almost said the wrong year there. I cannot believe we made it. We made it out of last year, and we are at 2026. And I'm very excited to have back with us author Mary Medeiros of The Acacia Way. I want to give you guys a gift this year, and we're going to start this off by having Mary introduce herself. Mary, how's it going? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes. Do you know, this really isn't the New Year. The New Year starts this is the Gregorian New Year. And we can talk more about this, but, you know, the New Year is really the spring equinox, is literally the New Year.
Okay. And, well, I want to get into all of it. Mary has beautiful insight that's going to help shape the way that you're going in your life, your journey with business, with family, with friends, with your soul's purpose, and really help you tap in this year and tell us exactly who you are. Mary, we'll go full screen, reintroduce yourself, please, to the audience.
Okay. I am back again, and I'm happy to be here. My name is Mary Medeiros, and I'm an Akashic Records advanced practitioner and author, and I'm also a 3-time Emmy winning television director. So I got all those things kind of together. And I recently launched my first book, which is called The Akashic Way. So I've been working in the Akashic Records since 2008. So for quite some time. And I'm working in the records themselves in the Akashic realm, as well as working with clients who come for readings, and they come to access their own Akashic Records for clarity, to have questions answered, to help them find purpose, discover why they're here, what their soul's journeys are, all that juicy stuff. So that's me in a nutshell.
Okay, really, really great. And I feel really lucky to have you, and it aligns with my intention this year to really get hyper-focused and lean all in. Mm-hmm. And you are really, really talented in this way of capturing someone's kind of essence. You've done it twice with me. And for those people, those naysayers or those people out there, they're like, oh, how is this going to help me in business? How is this going to help me, you know, in life and really get focused? Why don't you share a little bit, in case they didn't catch the last show, exactly how you highlight how it'll help?
Sure. Okay. So since the Akashic Records they've been around since the beginning of time, and they are really a quantum divine realm. They're it's like a blank quantum realm, right? And a living essence. And the realm itself contains the imprints. We could call it spiritual imprints of every soul's journey through lifetime after lifetime. What does that mean? It means that everything we as souls have done, thought, lived, experienced, said, all of that is kind of etched in this realm. And when we access our own Akashic Records by our name, we call out our name in a prayer. It's how I do it. And we are given or reminded of who we are. We're given specific things about our past lives, our lives now. So when we bring questions or concerns to the records, like, I'm struggling with this business, I don't know how to do it, you know, or or I have a person I'm partnering up with and I'm not sure if they're the right person. These are questions that people come to, some of many. What we do is, when we go into that person's records, I start to hear, or I do hear, blocks of thought that are not mine. They are basically the messages of that person's imprint, okay, which is revealing to them their own truth on a very deep level. And, you know, there are some times where I'm given thoughts to give them or questions to ask them. So you're basically, when you're in your records, you're kind of chit-chatting with your higher self, with the higher dimension of yourself etched in these records. The records have been around forever. They've been known by other names: the Book of Life in the Bible, the Tibetan Book on Living and Dying. The Egyptians have a version. The indigenous have versions. And they refer to this same idea, Dr. Joe Dispenza does too, of this field, this quantum field that now physics scientists have now proven that there is an existence of this field that was determined to be empty at some point. It's not. And that this field.
Yeah.
I think we're hearing more about it today because where I think people are, you may speak to this, but I have a sense that people are wanting more out of their lives than what we're looking at around us in third dimension.
100%. I mean, to jump in, I mean, I think we're reaching anyone that's, you know, awake and can feel, you know, and sense and believe that things are shifting and everything is changing. As creators, you know, intentional creators for our business and our lives, you feel this stuff, you see it, and we're reaching for something else that's tangible and real that connects us. And it's not just, what's before us now, right? So we're looking for higher consciousness, yes. I suppose. So.
Yes. And, you know, I can give you, you know, up until now, or maybe even other people are working with the Akashic Records, I have noticed that it's all good, but they stay more in the ethereal, metaphorical space of the records, which it's easy to do because it is a living, breathing essence of source itself, right? Of creator, source, universe, God, the records sit in that space. So it's easy to just, you know, go, well, it's sort of this unattainable thing out there. But my role and what I think makes me a little bit different than some people that I know that are working in this area is that I'm not trying, but I've been guided to bring the Akashic Records into real life, into our third dimensional life. And, I can give you an example. Do you want an example? Okay.
Please.
So I recently had a client, this woman who is resonating and connected with Andy Warhol. She just feels this connection, right? Well, in the records, in her reading, actually Andy Warhol, his essence was actually in her records because she did have some experiences with him. Well, let's put that one on hold. While I was in her reading, I was shown that she had a past life showed up that, and she's an artist, but a past life showed up that she was in France and she was the wife of a lesser known, not the known French painters that we all know about, a lesser though well-known painter at that time, and she was his wife and apprentice, and she would finish his artwork and never got credit for it. That was, you know, that was pretty specific because, you know, a lot of times when people do past lives, it's like everybody was Cleopatra, you know, somebody was, you know, yeah. I was the king of this and the queen of that. This was pretty specific, right?
Yeah.
So hours after her reading, she emailed me. And it was just exclamation points. I found out who I was. She found the painter. She found the area in France. And she found the painter whose wife was an apprentice and who was actually not given credit for finishing his works.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so this is dynamic. And I love the example and how it applies. And that probably really realigned her. You know, I don't know
what
she's
doing. Well, it did because one thing that she had brought forward was, and I didn't know this, I don't know these people when I meet them, is that she said, you know, when I first went to France years ago, I didn't want to come home and I cried when I was going to leave. It was home. I knew it was home. And she's been there since. And she said, I always have that same feeling. Like it is a home, like this is not a home. And so that just solidified it. And that's when we are in our records, we are triggered to remember on many levels the truths about our soul. And the idea too, I should say and add, is that the soul, the idea behind all of this is that our soul keeps incarnating lifetime after lifetime, right? Which means all of our DNA energy goes with us. And so therefore all of our experiences from all of our lifetimes is still with us. So we can access that just simply by intention. And if we don't know what to access when we're in our records, quite often a memory will be triggered through me and I'll just say a word and that person will go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. I just had, or rather around the time of Hurricane Helene, There was a client that I had, and while I was saying the prayer to open her records, I was hearing, because I hear quantumly, that she walked with Mary, that she was with Mary Magdalene and learned healing from Mary Magdalene.
Right.
And the first thing she said to me was, I've been told that over and over in readings. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's so cool.
It, you know what? And this is the part where, you know, where, wherever you are as an entrepreneur, if you're listening and watching, whether you're religious, spiritual, or none of the above, or some of both, or whatever you are, science backs this stuff.
Like, yes.
You know, they, every religion on the planet talks about, you know, the spirit never dies, and, you know, you go into a different form. And so this is backed by science. This is tangible. I think for folks that don't understand how you're able to access it,
mm-hmm.
you address that in your journey in your book, The Akashic Way. And you mm-hmm. can get that on Amazon right now, Mary Medeiros. But why don't you speak to that again a little bit deeper, if you could? Why are you so special, Mary? If someone was, you know, is it just that you're open and your journey got you there, so it keeps reconfirming your talent, or can anyone do it?
Yes. And we all have the ability to tap into this aspect of ourselves. You know, what is not required, but what helps us is we have to understand that a couple of things. We need to believe that there's a source of stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
I stay away from the word God, because that gets related very much to religion. And this is not about religion at all, because religion has boundaries to it, rules, regulations, people who put themselves in charge. Yeah. So we're not talking about that, but the God, the source, the creator, the universe, right? A belief in that is very, a knowing, it's not even a belief, but knowing that that exists. I have known that my entire life, right? So knowing that is really important. The second part that's really important, and why some people will go to open their records, and they'll say, I've had people come to me and say, I don't know, I sit there and I don't hear anything. Well, we have to look at what's really going on. First of all, do they really believe, do they really know that there is this resource called the Akashic Records, right? This, and that there is source at the center of everything. The second thing is how clear you are, how balanced you are or aligned you are to begin with. Because if we're out of alignment, think about it, even a doctor, if a doctor comes to you and they're having like, and they were out drinking all night, they're going to be really off and they're probably not going to do a good job with you. So we have to be aligned in ourselves, meaning we've done what I did before I began practicing was I kept opening my records. And once I knew that I was hearing something else, and I cleared a lot of my old wounds. I did a lot of my own self-alignment, right? Using the records as the tool, right? So I did that for quite some time. And then I felt balanced enough that I could be fully available and open to truly hear the records of other people. So it can, and anyone can do it. Desire, of course, intention. Yeah. And then there are some people who just are automatically used to hearing. They just will hear things or get a sense of something, not psychic wise. It's different. Yeah. It's like you kind of just, you know, there are a lot of people, they'll say, you know, I had a sense about that.
Yeah. Well,
right. Well, that's what that is.
That's where that comes from. And if you follow it, things will be easier.
Yes.
And
I also describe this as I'm moving from, and I don't go into any weird state. My eyes don't roll back in my head when I'm accessing the records. But I describe it as I'm moving from an ordinary state of consciousness to a divine state of consciousness. So it's a bit of a more expanded arena, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I surrender to it. Also part of the prayer that I say moves my ego out of the way. And I just know that that is so. Really, our greatest power, one of them, is for us to just really know how powerful we are.
Yeah. You said that on the last episode with me. And I had been thinking about it ever since. And I want to shift this a little bit, and you tell me, you know, if this is out of bounds, because I know that there's some type of, you know, you want to keep things ethical, but is there a sense that the records could be accessed to help with things that need answers? So things that maybe folks have been misaligned and done to others, or mysteries, or wrongdoings. Is there a sense that the ethical, you know, keeping people's privacy private, like if someone had something wrong done to them, can that person access how that led up or get answers?
Absolutely. I mean, I have many clients that come to me who have been massively abused when they were younger or in a past life. So they're, you know, certainly that, and they are feeling like victims. And when we look through the lens of the records, they're anything but victims. Yes, they may have had those kinds of experiences. The records don't lessen the importance of that, but we take on the idea, our perception, that we're victims for the rest of our lives, when really those events that we name trauma can become very powerful for us. I'll just say that the energy of them, I should say, as far as like, if we've done something, what will happen is if somebody is feeling shame and they come to the records and they're like, I did this awful thing, whatever. What the records will do is the premise here, and what I know to be true, and I believe it to be true, is that no one is evil. We're not evil. There's no such thing. Yeah. We get off track. We're told things that are not true, maybe when we're little, growing up, many, many factors, right? And then that lead to this. And then we will take actions that are based on those untruths, let's say. So when we go to the records, the truth is shown to us. And what will happen is, when we look at that, if someone is feeling horrible about something they did to someone, when we actually look through the lens of their own records, we will see the love that they are. They will feel the love that they are. Mm-hmm. And that love is going to transmute whatever event. And also they'll be shown validation. That's probably not the right word, but they'll be shown the bigger reason that maybe they made those choices. And it wasn't because they were evil or bad, or they're lacking something. Yeah. It was for other reasons. And, you know, I'm generalizing here because everybody's different, but you know, everything leads to love.
It's such a good message, and it's based on empowerment. Every conversation I've had with you goes, all roads lead to empowerment, and you're really, really consistent with that. And I like that message quite much, because I think that folks who have had a lot of trials and you know, just things, you know, come at them, and they've had to, you know, I call it the jigsaw puzzle. You're putting things together. You got all these pieces. And I find that you're right. There's a warrior sense, because they say often, you know, if you have a lot, what is it? High reward comes high responsibility, or high responsibility. I'm butchering the term, but the saying, but if you have a lot of things that are coming at you, it's character building. It's pulling you forward. It's pulling you up, and you can handle it. I want to kind of find a pathway to let you speak on that. Folks that are, you know, in business, or, you know, coming out of something in this new year, maybe we'll go full screen. I'll let you kind of speak to how you can help guide them through reading your book, The Akashic Way, and empowering themselves if they're feeling less than empowered.
Okay. So, you know, you had said something just now about, like, you know, people will feel like there's just so much coming at them. And I mean, that's valid. I mean, I've had that experience. However, the clue here, this is the new paradigm. The new paradigm, which is revealing itself slowly but surely to all of us, to humanity, is that when things are easy is how we know we're on the right path. So if we're in a place, and in terms of, like, you know, new businesses, or we're feeling drawn to something and we're not sure, and we're questioning it. Well, what will happen is if we first, we have to say yes. We have to trust that when we're feeling drawn to something, there's a reason we're feeling drawn to it. So if it's somebody is going to start, like for an entrepreneur, it's always a spark, and it's important to listen to that spark, right? So we listen to the spark, and maybe it forms itself. You write it down. It's in you first, right? So then that spark happens, and then you get inspired actions. If you stay with the spark and the energy of that original spark, you will receive inspired actions to make that spark bigger, we'll say. What'll happen is, as stuff comes, as you had said, when things start to come at you, if you feel it, if it doesn't feel good, then it doesn't belong in your what you're creating. It's like you have to create your own little arena that is yours. It's your light. It's your idea. It's your spark, basically. And so anyone that's coming, I'll say, or anything, should easily blend with it, fit in, let's say. And so often if we have a sense of being unsure of our new ideas, then we're going to go around like this and go, well, okay, I'll try that. I'll try that. I'll let this one in or that one. But I think we have to become more, have a little bit more protection or ownership of our own ideas to begin with. And it's not an ego thing. It's more like protecting the baby. That's bark is your baby. So as that's happening, then you will, certain opportunities will show themselves, and you'll know, because the clue is, if it's easy and if it's smooth, then it's right. And we have learned the opposite of that in our world. We've learned that we have to suffer and, you know, and waste a lot of time, and that it's a learning lesson. And it's like, no, it's not. The painter who paints amazing paintings, they didn't sit there laboring over it. They got a spark. They probably lost sleep over it. They went and they painted the painting. And then people came in and tried to do all sorts of things, but the painting was done already. And it was owned by that painter. So that's kind of what I have to say about all of that.
And I agree with that. When it's path of least resistance and it just flows, when it's a hell yes, it's and not a hell no, you know it to be true. And you know what? I'm guilty of this in the past, Mary. Like, why is this so easy? What's the catch?
You know, right.
And then we put more friction on the path of it being easy, and we question it. We just turn that beautiful thing into a negative thing. And I am so glad that you are highlighting that. You guys, if you ever wanted to get something that would give you an insight of where you're going. And it's such an easy read. Mary draws from her own experience in the entertainment industry, a 3-time Emmy Award winning director, and so much more. The Akashic Way, get this as a gift for someone in the new year. No matter what you're facing, all the chapters are very transparent. She talks on shame, letting go, how she got to the Akashic Records. It is a pleasure to start the year off with you, Mary. And I can't wait to have you come back through the year and highlight how the book is doing. And tell us, you know, are you going to be doing any signing, speaking engagements or anything? What's new coming up for 2026 with you and the book?
Well, the book is just, it has a life force of its own. and that's just the divine messaging that has come through there. It's amazing. It does have its own essence. I don't have to do much. I'll say that. I'm just doing things like speaking as much on the records as I can with beautiful people like you. And so I'm doing that. I'm working on my second book right now, which is going to be really very, it's going to be even juicier, because it's about the our misperception of the power of crisis. We all think that we need crisis and we need to break down in order to build ourselves or become whole. Mm. And this is, again, these are new paradigm thoughts and themes and messages that are coming from divine realm. And besides my helping people individually, I seem to be receiving more and more about humanity And I was shown in my records that I have to keep writing. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep writing. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm also still working on media stuff. So,
yeah.
So that's happening.
Well, I feel it. I feel it. There's a powerful field coming, and I wouldn't second guess for 1 minute that I look up and you're on television with this, and
thank you.
That's where you're going.
Well, you know, and there are all these new messages, which I love, but they're not really new. They're ancient wisdom messages. and that is the other one is that I think you're going to love this one is that it's the sacred divine feminine. She's rising again.
Oh, so good.
Yes, because we have patriarchy, patriarchy it can be positive too. It's not always, you know, it gets a bad rap because a very powerful father figure that is balanced and beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah.
It's very important.
So important. but
we also have this, we've had thousands of years of a growing, very harmful patriarchy. And it's been ruling systems, running systems, keeps us divided, keeps us down. And the divine feminine is rising up through it. It is happening. We're not seeing it yet. I mean, not with our eyeballs. We're not going to see it yet. Trust me, it's happening.
I do. And it's a confirmation from a healer, teacher, practitioner like yourself to hear that again. I've been hearing that. And I've been also tapping into my own and balancing that because as a female entrepreneur, I'm often in my masculine. And I don't want to do that anymore. That's exhausting, Mary. I don't want to switch so much.
But also we have to remember that we all have masculine and feminine energies. Right. Yes, it's just that it's like it became like a seesaw and it just tipped all the way one way. And
it really has.
Boy, it's been really challenging. It's still challenging for women in many industries, in the entertainment industry. It's still challenging for women, which is ridiculous. It's 2026. So like, what is this? So systems are toppled. They're actually imploding very slowly. And as we can see, veils are being lifted to show who the creepy crawlers are.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. So, that's a really good way to put it. Yes. Yeah. That's very diplomatic of you, Mary. she and I have had a conversation. So you guys, what a joy, what a gift, what a present to the collective. Mary, I feel like the more that you speak with folks and you are guiding folks through their records, you are adding to the collective. You're putting more positive back. And that's probably why more is being revealed to you because you're being obedient to your calling. And I really, really cherish that about you. You're always welcome here.
Thank you. I know
I'm going to be calling your people. You're welcome. I know I'm going to be calling your people soon to see your face and get your wisdom and tap into you. And I want to wish you and your family and your wife and your team a happy, beautiful, prosperous new year.
You too.
And thank you for kicking this off.
And I want to hear you are going bigger.
Yes, I am going to take your advice and go bigger. I got the chills just now because I've been suppressing that and we're going bigger.
No more because it's needed. We need you. Yeah. Humanity needs you, just like you're saying, you know, I'm needed. That's why I did the book. That's why I'm doing this. And you're too powerful to sit and be small. No more. Not that you are now, but there's way more for you.
Received Ashe and received on many levels there. And when you're writing that second book, you just tap in with me. If you want any stories about making it through some things,
about crisis,
over every topic.
I will. I probably will, by the way. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, you guys get with Mary Medeiros, get the Akashic Way and see what all the buzz is about. I just got the chills again. She's going to be too busy to talk to us, but we love her. And, Mary,
never
thank
be too
you
busy.
So much. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. Thank you.
See you soon. Okay. All right, guys. That was my gift to you starting the year. Hold on 1 second. I need to wet my whistle. wow. What a powerhouse, right? She's got this gentle power and presence that just, you just want to talk to her and tap into her wisdom. So Mary Medeiros, once again, the Akashic Way, living through the lens of the Akashic Records. And if you haven't heard about it, it's not a religious thing. It can be applied to your business and your startup. So thank you so much, Mary and her team. Special shout out, by the way, to all of our supporters and sponsors, Aegis Formulas. Thank you so much to Dr. Vaughn and Michael Solberg Family Wines. Thank you so much for your continued partnership and friendship. Leah Solberg, shout out to you. Next up, I want to read this talk about a powerhouse. And I put this together to give you guys even more to start the year, okay? So I have Tracy Doyle, the author, entrepreneur, and creator of the Aura Method, okay? So now backing the Akashic Way, we have Tracy Doyle. Tracy, welcome to the Startup. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's so good to be here, Monique. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's my pleasure, and I cannot wait to get my hands on your book. I know your team is probably going to be sending me a copy. but why don't we go full screen and let you introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Yeah, sure. Hey, everyone. My name is Tracy Doyle. I'm a entrepreneur who built and led an award multi-million dollar business. I actually sold that business in 2023. And just like you just heard on this previous interview, I answered my calling, which was helping women who manage it all, especially women who are entrepreneurs who manage it all and start struggling with emotional burnout. So that's who I am today. I'm actually an author now, first time. I'm really excited. I just recently launched my book, Life Storms, Finding Your Clear Sky. And I'm actually teaching women how to overcome emotional burnout through the method that I created from my own lived experience with burnout that I call the Aurora Method through the Aurora Academy.
Very well, very timely. I want to just raise my hand in class and say I have been experiencing extreme burnout and I've been working to course correct that. So this is just for, you know, this is for the entrepreneurs and congratulations, my goodness, of being a CEO, turning that thing into a multi-million dollar empire and now allowing yourself to give wellness back to folks. I think that that is beautiful. And this title grabs me, you know, Life Storms. Talk to us about your academy, how this all came to be and the Aurora Method. We really want to hear more about it.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give you a little bit of background, right? Because like, where does burnout come from? You know, most of us think it's them. You know, it's they demand us, they demand this, and they, it's our jobs. And, you know, for me, you know, I grew up believing that I had to sacrifice myself for everybody, right? You know, for my job, for my family, for my relationship, it didn't matter. It was just sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. And that sacrifice, it took me on a journey and it really just led to one place, and that was emotional bankruptcy. Mm. And, you know, and what that looked like for me was, and it was around this time of year, it was the holidays. I always want to tell this part of my story because when you hear this part of it, you understand where I took it, right? So, you know, I grew up, you know, my mom was mentally ill and, you know, I was born as a teenage pregnancy. And my mom just, you know, couldn't manage more than one thing. And you know, by the time I was, you know, older, I, you know, put myself through college. And, you know, here I was, you know, pushing. And I can remember it like it was yesterday, because where this journey took me, it was December 21st of 1999. And, you know, and I'm just, it's a cold, gray winter's day. I'm getting ready for work. It's the holidays, right? And I catch a glimpse of myself. You know, my eyes were empty, you know, hollow and my spirit was just dim. And I just didn't even look like myself anymore because I was so empty. Mm. And, you know, and basically inside my head, I'm like, I'm done. You know, I'm done. You know, I'm done being everything for everybody. I'm done taking care of my mother. I'm done taking care of my sister's kids because I had custody of them. I'm like, I'm done being stretched in every single direction at work. I'm done being the fixer. You know, I was just done.
Yes.
Next thought, though, was, you know, because it was holidays, if I got good and drunk, maybe I crashed the car. And if I crashed the car, no one would know because I didn't want to look weak to anybody. Because I was everything to everybody. And so later on that night, I was jolted awake by someone knocking on my car window because I had gone through with this. And they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was like, what happened, right? My car's facing oncoming traffic.
Oh, my God, Tracy.
I'm a hair away from a head-on collision. Oh. You know, I'm freaking out. Like, what have I done? I could have killed two people. And, you know, that was the moment. I mean, that was the moment where I was just like, I want to live again. You know, I got to change. I need my life back.
Wow.
So that next day, I mean, I had custody of my sister's kids. I was walking to a school meeting and it was like my heart and my head were just fighting. You know, it was like my head scolding me like, Tracy, you could have killed two people, you know, and
right.
And my head and my heart rather is like, but Tracy, you're still here, you know? So that was the first time, honestly, that I learned the lesson that sacrifice isn't about abandoning yourself. It's about putting yourself first when you're managing it all for everybody, you know? And like what I ultimately learned, and it was over a course of like 10 years, because this burnout recovery journey was intense for me. I tried everything. I did everything. Therapy, yeah. Self-help. And I mean, even listening to Mary's interview, I mean, I did Reiki and all sorts of spiritual healing. I mean, I tried so hard. But what I had to come to terms with was that I always believed that I didn't belong. And I thought that if I just kept pushing and sacrificing myself, then maybe I would. And, you know, that's when I realized it wasn't my mom or my job or anyone that was breaking me. It was me. It was my own beliefs.
Wow.
And so as I started to come to from that, you know, I started, you know, realizing if you know anything about burnout, what happens is it fractures our relationships. We're like in conflict with everybody because we think it's a them problem or it's an us problem. Like if my partner would only do this, right, then I wouldn't have to do that. And at work, it could be them. Like, you know, if they just didn't keep asking so much for me, then I wouldn't have to do it all. Like think of all the things we say to ourselves. And what I realized is that it wasn't them. It wasn't us. It was me. And as I was like coming through this, I found that therapy would keep me focused on sort of singular things like my anger or my trauma, because I had some trauma in my life.
Sure.
But what I ultimately came to terms with was that if it's my thinking, I'm locked, drum tight in self-centered thinking, and I can't give and I can't receive, and I'm just operating on old beliefs.
Wow.
And when I can bring those things to the conscious awareness, name them, I can name it, I can change it. Right. I'm sorry. I can see it. I can name it. I can change it. And so I started building a framework to help me manage it, because as a CEO and anyone who's running their business, I'm sure you know this too, you know, you get so overwhelmed and you get reactive. Right. And then you regret what you said, or you feel ashamed about how you handled something. And, you know, and as leaders, we do that. We're human. Yeah. But what can we do to keep elevating ourselves? And that's really where the Aurora Method was born, because I was ashamed of how I acted. I was having meltdowns, you know.
Oh, yeah. The meltdown is real, you know.
Exactly.
And thank you first of all, thank you for being transparent. This is what we love about the show. Folks can come on here and tell it like it is, and be tangible tips and you know, testimony for folks. And I really respect you for being so open. And I got to tell you, a lot of folks feel that way. And you really have turned something that could have been a tragedy into success. And not only that for yourself and your family and friends, but you're helping the collective and others. So I really respect that. And I think, you're welcome. And I think that those old conversations with ourselves, I heard someone say, divorce your story and marry your truth. And I really like that concept. And those old things that we pick up along the way when we're young, you know, and our parents, they're just a guy and a girl that got together, whatever, you know, they're humans. And it's really important to address that if you're going to go into business, because how can you receive, how can you ask for something and then expect it to come in when you've got all this mess, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what I learned though is that we're all wounded. Okay. Yeah. I loved Mary's interview because, you know, we all bring with us these wounds, and it's how we internalize it and the script that we create as it relates to it. So like my example would be, one of them for me was, you know, given my mom was mentally ill, I became the parent for my mom and my two siblings. They were my half siblings, you know, at the age of 10. So my belief was, you know, like I have to put others' needs ahead of mine. That was one of them. Right. But that same experience took me, if I don't do it, it won't get done, you know? And so now fast forward, I'm now, you know, building my career. This is before I started my business. And I'm building my career, but I had those same beliefs, right? I have to sacrifice myself and I got it. And I have to do it all.
And you're attracting more of that.
That's it. You know, and then, you know, and then it's like, you know, but when I understood that my reactions were coming from, again, let's say an old wound, like my mother used to always take over, right? She'd always just start taking things away from me and doing it herself because she didn't have patience for me to learn. And I internalize that as she doesn't think I know what I'm doing. And so I call this the reaction cascade in my book. And so what it basically says is we re-feel that wound and it goes right back to the old belief. They don't think I know what I'm doing. And where do I go? I always point to my middle of my mind, which is I'm not good enough.
And then you overdo it.
Well, no, where does it go next? It goes to fear. It goes to fear. They don't think I know what I'm doing. And they're never going to like think I'm good enough. And then where does it go? I was going between my two ears. This is where we want to see it, name it, change it. That original belief, that script creates now self-centered thinking, feelings, or even behavior. So for me, I might go to self-importance. How dare you tell me I don't know what I'm doing, right? And I'm creating a conflict. I don't realize that I'm creating the conflict. I'm just like, how dare you? You triggered me. No, I triggered me, that wound. I didn't know the script. I didn't know it. Once I learned that as a leader, you know, my biggest, my especially to entrepreneurs, the biggest thing for me being self-reliant, again, going between my two ears, self-reliant. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done right. You know, that self-reliance, what does that message send to our team?
Can we pause right there? Because you just hit on something that is so big. I really want to highlight that. If you don't delegate, if you don't trust, it's a trauma response to do it all on your own. And you're telling these people you don't trust them and you can't receive help, right? We got to stop that, folks.
That's the message we send. I don't trust you. And then I trigger you. You think, I think you're not good enough.
That's right.
We keep creating toxic conflicts, right?
Wow.
And I loved your previous interview because that to me is we are locked drum tight inside our mind. And in order to align, we have to align our conscious thinking. And that's what the Aurora method helps you do. It gives you a self-assessment so you can look at how your life experience has shaped you. And then from there, you really get conscious awareness, right? So you get emotional clarity. You can lovingly look back on your life and go, oh my gosh, that's how that affected me. And then you have the ability to turn it around. And I give tools in my book and I show you how to do it. And you have tools to turn that around. I call it the Life Storm Navigator. Because what you do is the turnaround tool helps you name it. And then you define yourself how you want to change. And then the Life Storm Navigator gives you the ability to create your own personalized mindfulness program, your own personalized affirmations. And then from there, once you start practicing change, I show people how to build bridges back, not only to themselves, but to the people in their lives, because then you can acknowledge, not that you have to jade. I always wear a jade bracelet. Jading is justifying, arguing, defending, and explaining. No, we don't want to jade.
Right?
We want to say to someone, I recognize the way I responded to that or I reacted to that was unfair to you.
That's right.
When you acknowledge, it's powerful.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're just getting some really great feedback from Miss Mary Madera. She says, Tracy, these are wonderful tools for people, especially in today's confusing times. Kudos to you. You two sisters are aligning right now. And what a great chime in there from Miss Mary. And Tracy, you know, you're defining things that I kind of already was innately doing. Last year, I just implemented a pause with clients, with friends, family. Guys, we're going to take a pause and realign here. So it's not, that was just my quick, you know, but I didn't have your methods, which I can't wait to implement in my everyday. And I really like that you are putting this out now. So why don't you grab that book behind you if you can. Let's show the listeners and the viewers and listeners. Okay, this is the cover of it, you guys. And how did you come up with this cover?
Yeah, so, well, Life Storms is all about our inner churn daily, right? Because, I mean, think about it. Every day you have a storm, at least as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, you're constantly like this, right? So life storms is really the daily storms that we feel. And finding your clear skies about how do you change your perspective in the middle of the storm? Yeah. How do you take that 1 minute reset? How do you take a 5 minute reset in the morning and give yourself 5 minutes of conscious intention? Because that's where the method shows you to go to maintain what you've had. So the way I came up with the cover, I actually worked with a hybrid publisher, and her cover designer actually came up with this. And I was thinking it should be something different, but I market tested this. And I'm happy to say I market tested it with women, all colors, all ages. And this was a winner, because what people said was the storm does not look scary and I can gain clarity if I read this book. And that's essentially what the feedback was that I got. And I was like, wow, that's fantastic.
That makes me feel good, right? And it speaks to what Mary was saying, is that you have that idea, that inspiration and that you know, that download, and you just, the vision moves you forward. And to get that validation from the market that's going to be consuming it. So tell me, if you could, the listeners and viewers, where we can get the book. I think I know the answer. And let's talk about what you have on your roster for 2026 for you and the class and the book.
So the book is available on Amazon. I know so many people are so busy. So we have an audiobook, an ebook. We also have, you know, paperback and hardcover. I'm a hardcover girl. That's why I've had one. I like to, you know, highlight and take notes. But in any case, for 2026, what I'm working on is I'm actually offering a free cohort of the Aurora Method Academy. I'm currently working with Lisa Nichols, and she's my coach. My soul was drawn to her. As I was listening to Mary and the sort of things that you attract, when I wanted to write my book and put my message out there, I was terrified to actually do this, because I was corporate, you know, I was in the pharmaceutical industry. And I just happened to be on a random thing where Lisa was speaking, and my soul said, you have to learn from her. And as coincidences have it, I ended up being in the same room with her, and she held my hand and said, let me help you. And she's helping me now. So I'm very excited. But Lisa, my coach, has encouraged me to put my money where my mouth is, which is basically, I want to help people. So I'm offering a free cohort of the Aurora Method Academy. I know sometimes people are just too busy to read the book and to apply it themselves. But on the other hand, some people just get stuck, you know, applying these types of tools to themselves because it's difficult. So I'm going to be taking people through the method. So the Aurora Method Academy is an 8-week program, but I'm offering two bonus weeks so I can really take people slowly through it. They have time to work with me to understand how to apply it to their life. So I'm going to be doing one or two free cohorts. The first one will be starting in February. So if anyone, just go to tracydoyle.life, my website. Schedule a one-on-one with me, because I would like to make sure that the Aurora Method is right for you.
I can imagine just how, I mean, the impact this is going to make. And congratulations on connecting with Lisa. What a beautiful soul she is. I don't know her personally, but boy, she has really just made a beautiful mark in the collective as well. And I think you're doing the same. You guys, get, if you're starting a business, if you're stuck, if you're in a business, if you don't know how to do it, get Mary's book, get Tracy Doyle's book, and get this free class. I mean, how many people, what's the capacity, Tracy?
We'll be offering 50 people in the course. Yep.
So you guys better get on it. Get on it. Please tell them the startup sent you. Tracy, I want you to come back and let's connect and see how the classes are going, and let's cover some more stuff. And I'll be catching up on the reading there. So I'll be getting my book, hopefully.
Well, I'm happy to come back, and I just thank you again. I'm so thrilled at the opportunity to talk to your audience today.
You're a beautiful soul. It's our pleasure. And you guys, as always, what will you start up today? We'll see you next week. Thank you so much to our guests. Be well.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.